Martin Garrix and Dua Lipa. The song's called Scared to be Lonely. And that is why every Sunday morning I invite a guest to join me. And as I said this morning, it's a man with a PhD, Paul Taiheng. Dr. Paul Taiheng, good morning.
Good morning, Charles.
Thanks for joining us. Not really your forte, this radio thing, eh?
Not. I'm actually perspiring quite a bit here with nervousness.
Okay, I'm sorry. But I have this running joke about the guests who come in. When I usually go and fetch them in reception, I usually say the dentist will see you now, because I think for a lot of people for whom being on radio is not something that they're accustomed to, it must feel a lot like waiting to go to the dentist.
It was, yes. Like, I was hoping you'd have a whiskey here. I did brief Carol Ann.
Oh, really? I was have a better word with her. I think there's still booze in the studio next door, actually, from when Wayne used to use it in his producing days. Must go and check. And although how booze stays safe in this building is miraculous to me. Anyway, more about you. Where are you from, Paul?
I'm actually born and bred here in PE.
Okay.
Went to school at Maris Brothers College.
Right.
So I spent most of my life there, from sub B or grade 2 to grade 12.
So Maris Brothers when it was still Maris Brothers.
When it was still Maris Brothers and not Warmer Park.
You see, now I realize that I've reached an age where if I say something like that to people who are too young, they go, no, I don't know what you mean. For people who live in Port Elizabeth and even people who don't, where Warmer Park Shopping Center is now used to be a school, and that school was Maris Brothers.
That's correct.
So now I don't know if I do go as far as saying, how old are you? I'm
52.
Are you really?
Yeah, 52. Oh, okay.
Because you're a touch older than I am then. All right. No, I'm
probably
just kind
a
of
lot older than
trying,
you.
Trying to place us in time and space. Because for somebody to know that and to have been to Marist, they must be more or less my age, because the school didn't last very long.
Yeah.
After I left.
It survived till about 1982.
Right.
And then it joined up with the Holy Rosary Convent and with the Priory to become Trinity.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, Paul Taiheng is at school at Marist, and were you a remarkable student? Were you unremarkable?
I was a very unremarkable student. Really never excelled at school. Stuttered quite a bit.
Right.
Never thought that I would actually land up in a position of public speaking and teaching.
Yeah.
Really was a very nervous child.
Mm.
And was one of those kids that always sat at the back of the class, hoping that the teacher wouldn't notice me.
Yeah.
But through the years, gained confidence.
Cool.
Attended short courses, went on to study, and and here I am now.
Hmm. Yes, and the reason you're here now is your PhD recent?
Yes, graduated now,
right,
about 2 weeks ago with my PhD in business management, and the topic was about social entrepreneurship.
Okay.
And basically the building a model to implement social entrepreneurship activities in higher education.
Okay. So let's have a for instance, because as somebody who has even business management 3, which I do, I want to unpack what you're saying a little bit. Social entrepreneurship. Social means with people.
Working with
entrepreneurship
people, yes,
means
setting up of business.
And novel,
yes,
I suppose. Novel ideas.
That's
right.
Correct.
Okay. So practically, what have you done?
Right. Well, I've basically tested a teaching model over a period of about 3-4 years. And basically what I do is I teach students entrepreneurship and setting up of business. And in order to do that effectively and to provide them with the practical skills to be able to go out and do that in the real world, we actually let them set up business in class.
Yes,
so we actually,
I found that fascinating.
Yes, so we actually set up businesses, and I've got a class of about 1,200 students.
What?
Yeah, 1,200 first-year students. And so what we do then is we set up little businesses, and they have about 5 members each, and they set up partnerships, and it's a real-life business. We have a product which we then have to market. So the students learn the whole process of ordering and setting up bank accounts and depositing money, marketing, drawing up business plans, etc.
Yeah.
And we've made quite a lot of money over the last few years, and then taken the money and actually engaged in social projects in the in communities which are disenfranchised. So we've taken the money, and we've gone into the townships and renovated classrooms, built blocks of toilets for kids, set up libraries, done all sorts of things, built kitchens, feeding kitchens in the townships.
Right.
So we've been involved in a lot of projects, helped Sister Ethel quite a bit in Mission Vale as well, sponsored her Christmas parties for a few years. And now at the moment, we're busy with a project to actually help our own students. Students who don't have the money to buy textbooks, can't pay their fees, and we're now helping those students through our businesses, and we formed partnerships with the alumni, the university alumni, and we're marketing the Madiba t-shirt, and we're selling that and hoping to generate as much money as possible over this following year.
Mm.
Hence the little gift pack I brought
you. Thank you. That's
and,
cool.
And so in that way, we want to generate a lot of income for the varsity community, because we can't rely on donations and funding from external sources. So therefore, try and build a little ecosystem that can hopefully become self-sustainable.
Yeah. The little bit of information that I got on you starts with the quote, the Chinese proverb, give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, but teach a man to fish and he'll eat for years. It sounds trite, it sounds old, but it couldn't be truer.
It couldn't be truer. And that's the entire philosophy of my teaching. So in addition to that proverb, I add on a philosophy that the chains and the shackles of poverty can only be broken through education.
Yeah.
And that is why I find, and I'm so passionate about education, I think it's the only way to freedom. And I see that in my students, and I see that on the day when they graduate, the pride of their families when they attend that graduation. And I've been involved with students for very many years, and I've gotten to know my students very, very personally, and I know the hardship and the challenges they've had to face. At the moment, I'm trying to raise 5,000 rand for a student who just needs to pay for his textbooks for this year, and he's in his final year of postgraduate studies, and he just needs the 5,000 just to pay for those textbooks. And I've known students who were raped. I know students who sleep on beaches and in toilets currently,
and yet they're coming to varsity and they're doing the best.
That's correct, because they also believe that it is only through education that I can escape this cycle of poverty.
I'm really, really, really impressed, and as you're explaining it to me now, I'm kind of thinking to myself, this must have a great positive knock-on effect, not only for the people directly involved, not only because there are more businesses being started, which means there's more money in the economy, which means more people are being employed, but there's also the good deed aspect to it, and corporate social responsibility must surely never be underestimated either.
That is correct, and that is why in this project the message that is quite strongly, and I make a point of saying this verbally in class constantly, realize that through the power of the businesses that you create, you are able to effect change and positive change within the communities that you operate.
Is this a fairly unique approach in the world today? I would think it couldn't be, because as you explain it to me, I'm going, but this is logical. This is the most logical add-on to tertiary education, to almost any education I can think of.
I thought that it was something that is practiced around the world.
To me.
So I actually thought that I didn't have something unique.
Yeah.
Christmas Eve, I received a very, very nice Christmas present. I was awarded a European Union Award for social entrepreneurship. And basically, there were 50 countries globally who also were considered, and the NMMU came out tops. And basically, we are the case study for the successful implementation of social entrepreneurship within the classroom space.
Yeah. I see that working with your thesis was supervised by Prof. Mimi Strivich, who I know the name, but somebody I know a whole lot better, the co-supervisor, Prof. Chris Odendorf, who's also done a lot of work on entrepreneurship.
Yes.
In fact, I think his original thesis was relating to Greek family-owned businesses.
That's correct.
In South Africa.
That's correct.
And then he's kind of moved on and on and on and got to work with you as well.
That's correct, yes. Prof. Struwich was my main supervisor, and Prof. Odendorf was the co-supervisor. Wonderful professors.
Yeah.
And the whole PhD was never in the plan of things.
Yeah.
Until they called me in one day.
And said, hey, we see some potential here.
Exactly. And they said, look, you know, because of all the work you've done in communities, our gift to you is to supervise you and to make sure that you finish in the, in the minimum amount of time. You are getting on in years. You don't want to spend the next 6 years, doing a PhD. So we'll help you and we'll supervise you to make sure that you do finish.
And then, so how long did it take?
The actual writing took me 2 years.
Phew.
And the experimenting work before that, all the work, was another 3 years. But it was at the end of that 3 years that they approached me.
Okay.
And said,
So this is a 5-year process.
It was pretty much a long process.
Okay. So there's another. Yeah, I was going to say that, but there's another message that comes from that as well, and that is persistence. If you're on the right path, should be rewarded.
That is correct. Yeah, but the main thing that came out of it is social entrepreneurship can be implemented in higher education. Social entrepreneurship can help communities. And
not can, is.
Yes.
You've proved.
And social entrepreneurship is very important for communities in PE.
Yeah.
South Africa.
Yeah,
and worldwide.
Yeah, and much further
correct,
abroad.
Yes.
Where can we find out more about this? In other words, if there's a business who'd like to get involved in some way, or if someone's listening to this and saying, I just want to find out a little bit more, maybe even read the PhD, they just find you on Facebook?
They can find me on Facebook, and they can contact me as well at the university.
Okay.
And they're more than welcome to. Since I've graduated, I've received quite a lot of invitations and for consultation, meetings, etc.
Yeah.
So I'd be honored and humbled just to assist people in starting up social entrepreneurship businesses.
Yeah. And that brings us to a logical endpoint, I reckon, and time for the question. Dr. Paul Taiheng, if you were president for a day, what would you do?
I gave this some thought, and I thought to myself, all right, well, you know you're going to be president for a day, so you would have already have chartered a ship. And that ship would then have sailed around the world and would have loaded up all the entrepreneurs, the best entrepreneurs and the best philanthropists in the world. And I'd sail that ship to South Africa and I'd offload them all.
Say, fix it.
And I'd say, fix it.
I like. Thank you very much for joining me. How was the trip to the dentist?
The trip to the dentist was not as bad as what I thought it would be.
Good job.
Thank you very much for making it a pleasant experience.
No trouble. Thanks for joining us. And this will be podcasts on my Facebook page and obviously on the Algo FM website tomorrow. Cheers, Paul.
Thanks. I'm always on the grind. I move too fast to get left behind.